To continue with the thought that we had last week, dealing with ordinary tasks can be extraordinary tests from the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. This is a very familiar area for most, and if not a familiar area, familiar character. His name is David. And we're going to be talking about David today as we continue this theme of ordinary tasks can be extraordinary tests from the Lord, and wanting to have you to see that God can use some ordinary mundane things in your life and then turn around and do some extraordinary things from those same things that you thought were ordinary. And last week we saw Gideon, and he and his men were tested by some ordinary tasks. And we're going to see the same thing from David's life today. 1 Samuel chapter 16, should be a Bible in front of you if you need one. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. 1 Samuel 16. 1, 2, and 3. Everybody that is there, say amen. All right, let's start reading together in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Today I want to introduce our topic that we'll discuss once again, amen, and it is going to be this subject: ordinary obligations can lead to extraordinary opportunities. The overwhelming theme of this is ordinary tasks can be extraordinary tests. God will oftentimes test you and I by everyday things that we do to see whether or not he can trust us with something else. And David here is going to have some ordinary obligations, and those ordinary obligations will lead to some extraordinary opportunities for him. One of the main ideas behind this message series is to make you and I consciously aware that even the smallest of things that we do on a daily basis, the smallest of things, the ordinary tasks that we perform can be extraordinary tests from God for greater responsibilities and privileges. Be aware, God wants to use us. He desires to use us. He's got angels. He's got many other weapons that he can use. But God wants to use men, women, boys, and girls for his honor and his glory to do some things. And God will oftentimes use ordinary things to see if you're ready for greater things. And so the responsibilities and privileges that we have today are a direct reflection of how we have handled previous ordinary tasks. And these ordinary tasks may have been extraordinary tests from God. Not everything is a test, but God will use everyday ordinary things to test you and I, to see if we're ready for extraordinary tests and tasks that he has for us. Amen. By the way, the better we do certain tasks, amen, the more quickly God may promote us and reward us. Amen. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for the ordinary tasks that you give us that can be ordinary tests. Lord, as we look at this subject matter over the next several weeks, we saw Gideon and his men last week performing ordinary tasks, which were really extraordinary tests for inclusion in your plan. Lord, as we look at some ordinary obligations that David himself will fulfill today, Lord, help us to see the extraordinary opportunities that he has. And then, Lord, help us to remember and recognize that some of these same things or types of things can be used in our lives. Oh, God, you desire to use us. You desire to work through us. You can use many, many things. but you desire to use us. We were created in your image for your glory, for your honor. Help us, Lord, to submit to your will. And Lord, just recognize before we can do great things, you want us to do some just ordinary things. Thank you so much for loving us. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. May we come with our ears open, our hearts receptive. Lord, when the word of God comes into our hearts, may we respond and do what you have called us to do. Some may need to be saved today from their sin. Some may need to surrender for greater works. Some may need to just continue in the great work that they're already doing. But whatever the call, Lord, help us to see and sense you're moving in our midst. Holy Spirit, I need you to preach and teach through me the word of God. And Lord, those that need to hear what they need to hear, open their minds and their hearts today. And Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable of the Lord Jesus Christ, a little bit more conscious of the will of God for our life, because we will leave here and go somewhere and do something today, Lord willing, and tomorrow, if you tarry your coming. We want to be faithful to that which you've called us to do. Save souls, change lives for the glory of God, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Mrs. Dawson is going to sing. You may be seated. There we go. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you're here today. And, you know, I'm always reminded of the little things that matter. You know, you always hear the little things that count, you know, little things that you say to your spouse. You know, I love you. You look great today. Your hair looks nice. Or, you know, when the wife says to the husband, you look stronger today than you looked yesterday. Amen. Those small things that matter. Amen. They may not be quite accurate. Amen. But, you know, those little things always matter. The little things always count. And I think it is oftentimes we forget that the little things that go on a regular basis in our lives, the small things that we do, God takes notice of those just as much as the great things that we do and the big things. And we're going to look at a guy by the name of David today. Many of us know who he is. And I want you to think just for a moment of some ordinary obligations that you have, because God's going to use some ordinary obligations in David's life to get David to the highest place in Israel. And that was to be the king. Think of some normal, ordinary things that you do on a regular basis. They may be even, you may think they're mundane things, amen. But be reminded that these ordinary obligations could lead to some great things. What do you routinely do that God may choose to use for an extraordinary opportunity in your life? Maybe it's the way you care for your children. God could use that. Maybe it's the way you care for your spouse. God could use that. Maybe it's the way you care for your parents. God could use that. Maybe it's the way you go to school and behave yourself at school. God could use that. Amen. By the way, we need some good behaved children nowadays in school. Amen. Children are unruly. They want to chuck the teacher out and do whatever they want to do. Amen. Back in my days, they just shot spitballs. Amen. Now they shoot guns. Amen. That's a big difference from spitballs to guns. But maybe it's the way you go to work and behave and interact with your boss and your subordinates. Maybe it's the way you shop or the way you play your sports or the way you do your mechanical skills job or maybe the way you handle your teaching abilities or your music. Amen. By the way, you never know what small things or routine things that you do. God may take notice of that and say, you know, you've been faithful over a little. I'm going to give you much. David is no small example when it comes to that. By the way, in your teaching or in your instructing or whatever you do, the people like Edison and Einstein and Mozart and presidents, they all came from some place doing some ordinary mundane things. A president just didn't wake up one day and he was the president, unless you're in England and you become the king or something like that. Amen. Inventors didn't just pop out of their mother's womb and be inventors. Amen. They had teachers and they had tutors and they had people around them. And what I'm trying to say is that ordinary things that you and I take for granted, God could use that as something and give you something more extraordinary than what you're doing because he sees your faithfulness. And oftentimes God will test us in a little to see if we're ready for much. God can use ordinary obligations in your life today for extraordinary opportunities. Say, preacher, I'm just a factory worker. Preacher, I'm just a housewife. By the way, don't you ever say, I'm just a housewife. That is one of the greatest responsibilities in this nation, better and more important than the president of the United States. That mother is responsible for that president when he was a baby. So don't you ever take lightly that what you do as a homemaker or as a housewife or as a homeschooler, don't ever take that light and say, well, it's just something small. I'd rather be making money. That's the greatest responsibility you can ever have, taking care of a child. Great. That's something that men can't do. Amen.
That's right.
Come on, men. Neither would we want to do it oftentimes. I couldn't hear my name called that often. Amen. Unless it's for money or something like that. Amen. Do that. Amen. I want us to notice three ordinary obligations that allow David to experience some extraordinary opportunities in his life. And we'll only probably get to about one or two of those today. But through it all, I want you to think of something ordinary that you do, that you might even take for granted, that you might even say, this is so routine, I can do it with my eyes closed. And you might say, it doesn't even take a whole lot for me to do this. You may say, I'm even tired of doing this. Let me assure you, God watches what you do. He takes note of what you do. And God is looking for people to give extraordinary opportunities to. Most of us know David as the great giant killer. However, he's also known as the beloved shepherd boy and musician. That's how he got his extraordinary opportunity, through his ordinary obligations as a shepherd boy and a musician. I want you to notice, first of all, in David's life, David's ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding. Most of us know he was a shepherd. In chapter 16, we find Samuel being directed by God to Jesse to find the next king after Saul was rejected from being Israel's leader. And what you find here, Saul disobeyed God, and God said, I'm not going to allow you to be king. And so chapter 16, verses 1, 2, and 3, here we find Samuel going down to the house of Jesse to find the next king. Several of Jesse's children stand out. One in particular is the oldest. He's big and strong, just like King Saul. And you ask yourself, does being big and strong matter? Well, ask Goliath that, and you'll find the answer. If I'm small, does that mean I can't do something? Well, ask David, and you'll find the answer to that. Hey, just because you're small doesn't mean anything. Hey, folks, I got cut from the basketball team because I didn't grow come my junior year. But I'm in good company. They cut Michael Jordan, too. Look at how he turned out. You say, well, how'd you turn out? I'm a preacher. I'm higher. Amen. So he's higher paid. Money ain't everything. Amen. Money ain't everything. You let Michael Jordan try to preach a sermon. Amen. So you come down here, and Jesse's coming to the house here, and he sees what's going on. Notice verse 4. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? Normally, when the man of God came in, normally there was problems. Amen. You know, it seems like that's what always happens. When the man of God is called for, there's problems. When he's called for, there's a problem. Why not call for the man of God before the problems happen? Amen. But back in those days, normally when the man of God came on the scene, have you come peaceably? What's going on? Who sinned? Where's my aching at today? They said, you come in peaceably. Verse 5, he said, peaceably. I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to sacrifice. Came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He looked like King Saul. He was big. He was a big, strong guy. Head and shoulders above everybody else. Said, whoa, look at this guy. You know how you and I would do. We go out to the basketball court and we want to pick our teams. And back in the days, the tallest people always got picked first. And they could be sorry at 0 o'clock, amen. But guess what? Because they were tall, they got picked. And you get out there, and they can't spell ball. You throw them the ball, they hit them upside the head. You say, well, you're tall, you're supposed to do something. Well, I am doing something. I'm taking up space. You didn't ask me if I could play. I'm just tall.
And the little guy that you neglected, boy, he's out there, boom, boom. All up in the big guy's face. And the big guy can't do nothing with that. It's not about size all the time. Trust me, I got picked over several times and was on the winning team. They said, we didn't know you could play. You didn't ask. Amen. By the way, I can play. And then that's what they said, we'll pick you next time. Ain't no next time. I ain't picking you. Amen. Look, we said, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I refused him. He said, don't you look like he's the one. I refused him. Why? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He says, I see what you don't see, Samuel. I can see deeper than you. I can see further than you. And I know what I'm looking for. Amen. Amen. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Notice verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? You know what he's saying? Wait a minute. God said he was going to pick a king. Is there anybody else here? There's got to be somebody else. Don't you love it when you're the last one picked and you're the best one for the job? They look over you and look at everybody else. And then they say, well, let's try that one. And you try that one, that happens to be the best. You say, see, you shouldn't have waited for the last shot. Amen. Verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither. David's ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding. He's keeping the sheep. As a shepherd, David will be responsible for safety and welfare of the flock. In Bible times, the shepherd's job consisted of up to 1,000 or more sheep. And David will be responsible for their feeding, their transporting to new areas to graze, protection from predators, poisonous plants. A shepherd's often lived in isolated areas. All the things that make a person a good leader. Hey, as a husband and a father, you're responsible for your home. You got to protect. You got to provide. You got to lead. You got to feed. Pastor does the same thing. The king would have to do the same thing. God said, I don't see that in Eliab. I don't see that in Shammah. I don't see that in the others, but I see it in this young lad right here. Why? He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. In addition to what the shepherd does for the sheep themselves were often defenseless and needing protection. They were directionless and needing guidance. They were dependent and needing someone to help them. They were often dense and sometimes they were even dumb and would require a tremendous amount of responsibility from the shepherd. Tell me if that doesn't sound like people. Some people are defenseless, some are directionless, some are dependent, some are dense, and sometimes they can absolutely be dumb. Say, preacher, I resemble that remark. We all do. All of us do dumb things at times. I've done my share of dumb things. Don't y'all look at me like that. I've never been dumb. How do you spell that anyway? D-U-M. Amen. What am I saying here? Sheep would need to be fed, led, and sheared, which was a tough thing to do. David had the ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding. With all that's involved, the shepherd's ordinary obligation could become mundane for the experienced shepherd, much like your job. Some of us can go to our jobs and do it with our eyes closed. We do it so often. We hear the same things. We do the same things. We push the same buttons. And it becomes so mundane that we can think, well, you know, this is just crazy. Why do I do the same thing over and over again? The shepherd sometimes would have to rescue the same sheep over and over and over and over again. The same sheep that was directionless, he would have to go and find over and over and over and over and over again. And we do the same things over and over and over again. We think, wow, this is just mundane. What's going to be the end result of this? But it requires an attention to detail. Because I've got to see what sheep is actually missing. I've got to see what sheep actually went in that direction. I've got to be able to not only find that sheep, but find my way back to the other sheep. So it can be mundane at times. David is involved in this mundane occupation every day. Bible encourages us in all things, including mundane things, with Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Young people, you could actually learn something from that. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Ephesians 6:8 says it this way, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. In other words, I don't care what it is that you do, you should always do your best. Why? Childhood tendencies translate to adult habits. Amen. Childhood tendencies translate into adult habits. I am what I am today because my parents put something in me. Talk about that in Sunday school with certain things. Amen. I am what I am. My parents stayed after me. They stood on me. Was it mundane? Yes, it was. They want to make sure I did it right. Yes, they did. My mother always said, boy, you might go out and work for somebody one day. And I want you to be the best employee that you could possibly be when nobody's looking. What is that? Character. Character. Integrity. Because I don't have to have somebody watching me to do what's right. We have a generation of young people right now, they will not do right sometimes unless somebody's watching. Amen. Why do you think we get caught up on so much internet pornography? Because I can get over there and nobody's watching. Whoa, look at that. Somebody comes, oh, it's just a screensaver. Yeah. Boss goes away. Just a screensaver. I'm playing Uno. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:23 puts it this way, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. David's ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding led to something extraordinary because he did it right. Amen. Was there Eliab? Yes, there was. Was there Shammah? Yes, there were. Were there other brothers there? Seven others, according to verse number 10. But you come down here and you find that David was the one that was anointed to the extraordinary opportunity. Come down to verse number 12 with me. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, this is David, and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. He's the youngest. He's the best looking. He's the one that doesn't look like he should be a king. Amen. He's not rugged looking. He's not strong looking. He's not like Goliath and a big tall man. But he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. And that's all that matters. If I've got a heart for God, I'm going to do what I need to do. You can put me up against anybody. If I got a heart for God, I will exceed and excel above them and the things of God. And because David was that type of man, David's ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding led to the extraordinary opportunity of being anointed as king. Can you imagine being at your workplace and somebody comes in and says, we're going to anoint you to be the president of this company? Can you imagine what everybody else would say? Them? What about me? What about you? Did you do what they did? They come in there and say, we want to anoint you as the CEO of our organization. You're going to be the poster man for this job. You're going to be like that Alltel guy. Can you hear me now? Not Alltel. What's his name? Verizon. Can you hear me now? That was Verizon. Shows you how old these commercials get, amen. You're going to be that person. It could happen to you. God could use your ordinary mundane responsibility that you have and do something great. How would you respond if that happened? He's anointed as king, promoted to the highest position in Israel whilst he was working. They said, call for him. Where is he at? He's keeping the sheep. He's doing his ordinary mundane job of shepherding. Shows you that he was faithful. Everybody got called but him. How in the world did that happen? Did he not say, call all your sons here? How did David get overlooked when he said, call your sons? Verse 10 says, he made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. Amen. And guess what? He wasn't there. He had to go be found. You know why he was faithful? He was faithful. you find me a man that's faithful. And God can use that man. You don't have to have a bunch of talents. You don't have to be all extra in this. You don't have to be all extra in that. If you're just faithful, God can use faithfulness. Why? It's about his power and not your own. He just needs a vessel to wield his power through. David happened to be that man. What's happening here? He's got an ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding. And God says, you know what? Because I saw what you did and I see what you do, your ordinary obligation of mundane shepherding, I'm going to make you the next king. It's kind of interesting to find out. Notice in verse number 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, one of the things that you don't find here is how David's going to get his training. After David's anointing as king, Samuel departs. How would David be trained to be the next king? Interesting, isn't it? There wasn't training for the king 101. There was none of that given. It says that Samuel departed and went to Ramah. Say, preacher, how was he going to get trained, amen, by his ordinary obligations of mundane shepherding? Sometimes God's going to anoint you to do something and he wants you to stay where you're at. He wants you to stick with what you're doing because it's God's job to get you prepared for what God wants you to do. You don't find him saying, all right, that's it. Somebody take these sheep. I'm going to King Training 101. See y'all later. Yeah, I'm David. Samuel just anointed me to be next king. Enrolled me in King 101. There was no such class. So how's David going to learn to be king? How are you going to learn to do what God wants you to do? By being faithful at what you're already doing. By being faithful. He was the shepherd. He was the protector. He was the feeder. He was the leader. He was the shearer. He was the one that stood in between the sheep and the predator. It was he who stood between the sheep and the poisonous plants. It was he who stood there from the thief that would steal the sheep. It was he who was in isolation with them in inclement weather conditions. It was he who would do that. It was he who would have to go through that as king. What am I saying? God used a mundane, ordinary shepherding job to get him to be what he needed to be. I was reading in my devotions this morning a quote by Corrie ten Boom. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Read that again. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That means if you know God, you don't have to fear the future. You don't have to worry about it. Why? God knows what you need. And God knew what David needed. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, many of you have probably heard this, never doubt in the darkness what God has told you in the light. Amen. Never doubt in the darkness what God said. Hey, if God called me to preach, guess what? I don't need to doubt that. Why? God told me that in the light, and so I don't need to doubt that when the times get dark, when the times get hard, when the times get rough, I don't have to doubt whether I'm called because man didn't call me, God did. And if God did it, that settles it. If he's anointed you as king, David, he will take you to where you need to be. Never be afraid. Your ordinary obligations of mundane duties, God can use. David was appointed as a shepherd, then appointed as king. God saw something in David that he didn't see in anybody else. By the way, same for you. You ever been appointed to a job or something without volunteering? Someone just pointed you and said, we need you to do this. You know why they picked you? Because they saw in you someone that could get the job done. They're not just going to pick a loser. They're not going to pick somebody that can't get. If I want a job done, I'm going to pick somebody that I know can get the job done. Amen. Hey, sometimes in families, the oldest should get called on to do certain responsibilities. You may pick the second or the third or the fourth or fifth and sixth, seventh, on down the line. Why? I'm going to go to who can get the job done. Amen. Hey, if you're appointed to do something without volunteering, somebody saw something in you through your ordinary obligations. They saw how you handled your mundane responsibilities and said, I can appoint you to do more. In grade school, I was appointed as team captain for basketball. I didn't volunteer. In football, when I went to high school, they said, we'll make you team captain. I didn't want to be team captain. I said, look, you give that to those guys that's outspoken, those guys that rough up the players when they don't do right. I said, I'm not that guy. You know, you don't do right, you better do this. We lost the game because of you. I'm not that guy. But they said, we want you to be team captain because we don't need that guy. We need you. And you supply that which we need. Hey, folks, I went to college and I was a member of the Black Student Union there. And they had to vote for officers and they nominated me for president. I said, I don't want to be the president. Guess who got picked? I said, I don't want to be the president of this organization. Let somebody do it that wants to do it. I just want to be back behind the scenes. I just want to support people. I just want to do my little business here. And guess what happened? I was responsible for everything. You know why? They saw something in me. What am I getting at? David was anointed as king. He had his ordinary, mundane responsibilities of shepherding, and God was going to take him through a series of training to get him to the point where he could be king. God had called me as a basketball captain, a football captain, a Black Student Union president in college. Why? Because I'm going to make you the pastor, and I'm getting you ready. And although you think these are ordinary tasks, I've got an extraordinary opportunity for you, son. You don't know it. Just do the best you can. Be the best you can. Go the furthest that you can. Be what you need to be. Because I'm working something here in your ordinary, mundane things that you have no clue of. Folks, although I didn't want to be any of those, I didn't want to be the captain. I didn't want to be the president. I tried to be the best captain, the best president I could. Why? Mama raised me better. The word of God says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. What am I saying here? As I was appointed to these positions, God must have seen something in me because he called me to be a pastor. I can recall when we were going through trying to get into the room there, the school, and they denied us getting in the school. And I thought, God, what are you doing? Didn't you call me to this? Didn't you do something in my life? You called me to this, and you brought me to this point, this dead end. We've got no place to meet. And out of the blue, I get a phone call. The building that was rejected of your use, you can use. And not only can you use it, you can meet on Wednesdays free of charge. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. We moved out of that school. We moved into a storefront building. And Pastor White can tell you, we were trying to scrounge around and get the plans of stamp that could allow us to meet together. And they said, no, we can't do it. You need all this money. And I said, man, Lord, what have you done? You brought me to this point, and you're not going to let us do this. Lord, what's going on? And out of the blue, I ran into a guy that said, I can stamp your package. Got into the building. Just like that. What am I saying? God used ordinary, mundane shepherding to get David the training that he needed. God is using in your life ordinary, mundane things to get you to where he wants you to be. And you may think it's insignificant. You may think it doesn't matter that I don't do my best. It matters. God sees. You may think, well, I don't have to do my very best. You're not working for man. You're working for God. And God saw David. He saw him over Eliab. He saw him over Shammah. He saw him over his other brothers. There were seven of them there. David was the eighth. He said, I want the eighth one, the smallest one, the littlest one. You never know what God will do through your ordinary obligations. I remember one day in the military, I was in there working, man, getting ready for the weekend. It was Thursday. And Thursday is normally the day that you prepare to go. And my boss walked in. He said, we need somebody to go to Athens, Greece. I was in Belgium. He said, Dawson, you want to go to Greece? Now, why did he pick me? You do the math. Is it maybe because of the ordinary, mundane responsibilities that I handle well? Was it because of the obligations that I handled on a daily basis? And I said, sure. He said, you leave tomorrow, go get your ticket. I went down to get my ticket. I said, look, I said, I need to go to Athens, Greece. I said, got some classified material to take over. Here's my identification, blah, blah, blah. They checked the computer. They said, I'm sorry, but you'll have to stay until Monday and fly back.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
I said, I only got to go down to the Minister of Defense and drop this off at Athens headquarters downtown, and I'll be done in about an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Only flight we have coming back is on Monday.
Oh, man.
So you fly out on Friday, and you'll come back on Monday.
Oh, mercy.
Ordinary obligation turned into an extraordinary opportunity for me. I went down to the Minister of Defense on Friday afternoon about 2 o'clock. Ding dong. Hey, here's my credentials. Got this classified material. Signed for it. Put my receipt away. I thought, now what am I going to do for the rest of the weekend? This is Friday in Athens, Greece.
Oh my goodness.
I found some things to do.
Oh my goodness.
In Athens, Greece. Woke up on Saturday morning. Wonder what I can do in Athens, Greece. I woke up on Sunday morning. I went to church. Ah, ha, 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 ha. See? I went to church. I found a church that spoke English. Saw the writing. I said, English. Now, they didn't preach good, amen, but I'm in church, amen. What am I saying? An ordinary obligation of just being at work, doing my best, turned into an extraordinary obligation. I got to go to Greece.
Amen.
Everybody came to work on Friday. Where's Dawson at? Boss said he's in Greece. I got back on Monday. Man, how'd you get that? I wonder how I got that. I know how I didn't get it. Doing what y'all did, amen. Hey, what am I saying here? You never know what God will do through your ordinary obligations. Just doing what you know you're supposed to do. David just did. David was not looking to be anointed as king. David wasn't looking to be promoted. David's just out and being the shepherd, doing what I'm supposed to do. Hey, I can't leave the shepherd, but if dad calls, I guess I got to go. And so David left and went there. They anointed him as king. You never know what God will do through your ordinary obligations. And notice the second thing. We're going to close with this real quick. Amen. David's ordinary obligation of musical skills. David was not only a shepherd, but a musician. Perhaps his musical skills came in handy to calm the sheep or ward off predators or perhaps just to praise the Lord. But we do know nonetheless he had musical skills and he utilized them in his mundane shepherding. And they would prove valuable to what God was going to do with him. By the way, if you have an ability you think is mundane, keep at it. You never know what God's going to do with you in the future. If you've got to play, keep playing. If you've got to practice, keep practicing. If you've got to recite, keep reciting. If you've got to sew, keep sewing. Keep fixing, keep writing, keep cooking, keep building, keep reading, keep studying, keep tinkering. In the process of your ordinary, mundane activities, you never know what God had designed for you down the road and an extraordinary opportunity. You never know. How was David to be aware that God would call him to be the next king in Israel? That wasn't on his agenda, I assure you. What was on David's agenda? Being the best shepherd I can be. And being a great musician. Come down to 1 Samuel chapter 16, those verse 14, because the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and he got an evil spirit on him. Notice what happens here, because David's ordinary or obligation of musical skills led to an extraordinary opportunity. Verse 15, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee, talking to King Saul. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, this is one of the servants in Saul's court, and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Notice this, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. By the way, David is a shepherd. Shepherds stay in the fields. Shepherds are isolated. There's nobody around him. But word got back to the king in his court. Somebody saw David. What am I saying? I'm not out trying to play to impress anybody. I'm playing for my sheep. I'm playing for my Lord. I'm playing off these predators, trying to scare them away. I'm making beautiful music to my Lord, and somebody heard it. And somebody said, I heard about a man. And not only is he a musician, notice what it says in verse 18 again. He's a cunning in playing. He's a mighty, valiant man. He's got some strength about him and some vigor about him, amen. He's not afraid of things. A man of war. He can fight against some animals, amen, and prudent in matters. He's smart and a comely person. And by the way, King, he even looks good. And the Lord is with him most of all. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And that's just ordinary for me. That's just ordinary. You find me a young person like that, I want that one too. I want that one to work for me too. If I'm the king, I want that one in my court too. Hey, did not Nebuchadnezzar do the same thing? He got the best of Israel. He said, I want those boys right there. Why? They can take a stand. They're comely. They know what's going on. They're prudent. They're men of war. They have what I'm looking for. David was not promoting himself. Somebody else promoted David. It was God Almighty. Guess why? Because David just did an ordinary responsibility. That's all he did. Verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me who? David. Thy son, which is, where's he at? With the sheep. With the sheep. Doing what I do. I'm doing what I do. I've got this ordinary obligation. It's mundane shepherding. I'm doing what I do. Ordinary obligation. I've got musical skills. I'm just doing what I do. David's ordinary obligation of being with the sheep promoted him to this job. And Jesse, verse 20, Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, of Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him and loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul said to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. What am I saying? David's ordinary obligation of musical skills provided him an extraordinary opportunity to minister in the king's court, and more importantly, directly to the king. How was David going to be trained? Being that he was a shepherd boy musician, he's directly now in the king's court, seeing how things happen in the king's presence. He's learning what to do. He's learning what not to do. He's already proven that he's a comely man. He's a prudent man. The Lord's with him. He's a man of war. He's valiant. He's already proven that, so that's not necessary. But I need to know what's inside that court. And so God took his ordinary obligations of mundane shepherding and his musical skills and said, I've got some extraordinary opportunities, son. I'm going to put you in the king's court to see what it means to be king and what happens. You'll see what to do and what not to do. Hey, my friend, people can take you and I and put us in an extraordinary opportunity at God's will because we're just doing what we're supposed to do. Never get tired of doing what you're supposed to do. Don't strive for something that is out there. Now, I'm not saying, you know, have low standards. I'm saying don't be so desirous to get out there that you can't do what you got right here. Take care of what's at home first. Do what you're supposed to do with your responsibilities first. David had ordinary obligations. If you got an ordinary obligation at your job with your bosses, your subordinates, do that. If you got ordinary obligations at school with your teachers and authorities, do that. If you got at home chores and parent responsibilities, then do that. If at home you've got children and relationship, do that. If you've got responsibilities with people and relationships in the community with friends or with authorities, do that. Maybe in your sports or recreations, whatever it is, just do your ordinary obligations and God will take you to the next level that he wants you to be. If he did it for David, he can do it for us. Hey, folks, I'm living proof of that. That God took ordinary things that I did and turned it into extraordinary opportunities for me. Why? Because God saw something and God sees something in you. He just wants you to give him what you have. He just wants you to do your best. Let me tell you something. As good as you try to be, you can't best heaven. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. Does God want to use you? Yes. But God wants to use you with salvation first. He wants to give you something. He wants to put his spirit in you first. He wants to save you first. He wants you to be born again first. He wants you to escape that place called hell first. And then he wants to use you. God wants to give you salvation. But after he gives you salvation, he says, you do your ordinary responsibilities, your ordinary obligations to the best of your ability, and I'll promote you when I see the time is right. Now, we don't know how long David was a shepherd, but I can tell you this. He didn't stay a shepherd. God used his ordinary obligations to give him extraordinary opportunities to do greater things and greater privileges. I wonder today, what does God want to do with you? You're not saved. The first thing he wants to do is save you. Very first thing. He wants you to be sure that heaven is your home. Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. God uses ordinary everyday tasks as extraordinary tests for greater responsibilities. What ordinary obligation are you involved in today? Do your best. What ordinary obligation are you scheduled to do tomorrow? Do your best. I don't care what it is that you have to do. Make sure you're doing the best that God wants you to do. Well, what about what everybody else is doing? David could have said the same thing. What about my seven brothers? What about them? Oh, God didn't call them. God called David.
Yes, sir, he did, Pastor.
And God used David. Don't be so concerned about what others are doing. Concerned about what God would have you to do. And do your best. I could ask my boss, well, why am I the one going to Athens? Can you send someone else? Hey, mama didn't raise no food. At that point, I'm not concerned about everybody else. I'm just concerned about getting that job so I can go. Why? Because God was giving me an extraordinary opportunity. And by the way, I got to share the gospel in Greece. I never would have got a chance to do that any other way. What is God asking you to do today? That you say that's an ordinary obligation. It's mundane, but God may be wanting to use that to give you extraordinary opportunities for something else. If you're not saved here, I encourage you, accept Christ as your Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just